After Palm Sunday and Easter, we get back to our verse-by-verse study of the book of Galatians. We're still in chapter 1. Let me read what we have studied so far and catch us up, and then we will pray. Inside your bulletin's a little outline of our study, too, if you'd like to take notes. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle sent not from men, nor by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I trying to win the approval of men or God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let's pray and move on in these verses. As always, God, we are delighted to have your word and to study it together. But we also come with fear that we handle it correctly and that we interpret it into our own lives. Just to hear it, just to hear a sermon about it, just to study it without application, Father, would be a grave sin. These are your words that we hold in your hand, and we pray that as we understand it deeper, we will put them into practice for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. If you try to make everybody happy, what happens? It's impossible. Trying to please everyone. And Paul has said, no, I am not a people pleaser. That's impossibility. In fact, it would be a sin. But I'm trying to please God. Of course, pleasing God is our number one priority as Christians. The introduction to Galatians, which we have spent several weeks on, Paul has told us over and over, where did he get his message? He got his message from God, not from men, not by men. So we have to listen to this message if it really is from God, correct? It's a gospel, good news of grace. And in verse 12, he says, this message, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He has told us, I am not a people pleaser. I am preaching what God told me to preach. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since you've heard this word. Remember, important to understand, Galatians are the Judaizers. What did I tell you every time you hear the word Judaizers? Oh, good guys, bad guys. Well, here's why they were bad guys. They said that you must become a Jew before you can become a Christian. Oh, yeah. We're saved by grace. However, before you come into the door of grace, you must come through the screen door or the foyer of all the things we think you ought to do. And primarily to the Judaizers, who were Jews, now becoming Christians, they were saying, well, we can't really accept grace. We've got to add something to grace. But what happens when you add anything to grace? It's not grace. Paul tells us that in Romans as well. If you add anything to grace, then it's not grace. And they were saying, primarily, men, you must be circumcised. That was an Old Testament. That was Jewish. That was ordained by God, but you must do that before you can come into grace. And the real bad thing that they were upset about was, do you know what? Paul is preaching and letting Gentiles come into the church. Can you imagine that? And so we've got to put some rules on these guys. And Paul says, no, this message is directly from Christ. I'm not trying to please people. Notice in verse 12, I received it. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. It means to accept as your own. It doesn't mean, yeah, I heard it. Yeah, I saw a video about it. It means I accept it. I heard it. I accepted it as my own. Meaning I bought into it. So I asked you the question a couple of weeks ago. Is your faith really your faith? That's an easy question to say, but it's a tough question to prove the answer. Is my faith just because I was raised in the church, my dad was a preacher, my dad was a missionary? Is it my parents' faith? I've gone to church all my life. Or have I bought into it myself? It's not that, well, that's what my parents believe. That's what our church believes. But he says, I received it as my own. How did you get this message, Paul? So Paul goes into his brief autobiography of how he received the message. And there are three periods to his life. And the verses, well, we're going to finish chapter 1 today. Whoa. We'll have you out of here by 5 o'clock. Three periods in Paul's life. Before his conversion to Christ, what was he? How was he changed? How was he converted? And post, what has happened since he became a Christian? That should be your testimony as well. What were you before you were saved? How were you saved? And what has happened since you have become a Christian? If your faith is real, you have the same testimony. Not all the specifics as the Apostle Paul, but let's dig into it. First of all, his pre-conversion proof of where he got the message. Verse 13 and 14. For you have heard about my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. What was Paul like before he came to Christ? He was a Jew. He was just like the Judaizers. Did you hear that word? Judaizers? He was just like the Judaizers. Why does he bring all that up? It's because of this. This gospel of grace, that we are saved by grace and grace only, the message of grace had no foundation in Paul's life before he came to Christ. No foundation at all. There's nothing in Paul's past that was the source of this truth that he's now proclaiming. What was Paul before he became a Christian? A Jew. But what kind of Jew was he? He was totally centered in the law and tradition. Nothing wrong with the law. Who came up with the law? It was God's law. However, he was totally centered in works. I've got to earn my way to God's favor. If I do this enough, if I do that enough. Grace to Paul, before he was a Christian, was a foreign concept. Notice what he says there. He says in verse 13, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. What was Paul before he became a Christian? He was a persecutor. And who did he persecute? The church. The word there, persecute, we just read the word persecution and pass by, but it's a very intense word. It means to lay waste. I was not just against Christianity. I was not just against the church. I wanted to destroy it. I wanted to make it ineffective. I was destroying the name of Christ because I was so set against it. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that still try to destroy the church. There's a lot of people that get mad and leave the church, but they're not just happy with just going on. They want to destroy the church. So against it. To make the church ineffective. What Paul really was a blasphemer of the name of Christ. That word persecute is used in Greek writing of ravaging a city. That's how intense I hated the church. Trying to utterly extinguish the church. He wasn't just against Christianity. He wanted to wipe it out. That was his passion. Second, he said, I had this tremendous zeal. I was advancing beyond all the guys my own age in the tradition of my fathers. You know, the traditions of the Judaizers and the Jewish religion were unequaled. And I was better than all of them at protecting the traditions. The word there he uses for advancing literally means to chop ahead, to blaze through a forest, to make a path. I was cutting down anything that was in front of me. Anything that was for Christ, I was trying to cut it down. And I was better than most my own age. The traditions of my fathers. What's wrong with tradition? What's wrong with traditions? Nothing at all. Unless you make traditions a criteria for salvation, then you're adding to grace. We have a lot of traditions at Valley Christian Church. We have a lot of traditions in our home. In your home, you have traditions. As Americans, we have nothing wrong with tradition unless you make it a rule to be accepted by God. And that's what the Judaizers were doing. There was that word again, Judaizers. The law was good, Old Testament. But they went beyond that. They said, here's God's law, so let's put a fence around God's law. So if we don't break that law that we made up, then we won't break God's law. In fact, let's make fences over here, way over here. And you know, the rules of the day, fences around, very complex, all the rules of Judaism. Now, imagine such a man that was advancing beyond all the other guys his age, been trained by the greatest teachers in Judaism, who was cutting down Christians, blazing a path to destroy the name of Christ. Imagine how difficult it would be to change such a man's mind. Only God could do that, couldn't he? That's his point. There is absolutely nothing in my past that prepared me for grace. And you may be able to identify with that. You were raised in the church. You've been a Christian. You know, if I ask you how long you've been a Christian, it's hard for you to tell because you've been a Christian all your life. But you've been steeped in legalism in many ways as well. But can you imagine trying to wipe out the church, being like Saul, who later became Paul, killing Christians? I wanted to ravage it and wipe it out and make it ineffective. And now you're preaching a gospel of grace? Wow. So let's look at his conversion proof. That's what I was before. But verse 15 and 16, what happened? But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Read verse 17. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Why does he tell us all that? Let's look at it. Would you agree with me that there was a dramatic change in Saul laying waste to Christianity and what he was afterwards? Big change. You know, that ought to be true in our lives as well, huh? Dramatic change from what we were, and then we met Jesus. And I don't care how good a guy you were, how nice a person you were, how often you came to church, there is a big difference what you were before you trusted Christ. Because who did you trust before you trusted Christ? Yourself. Or my parents. His conversion proof. Not until Christ confronted him, you read about it in Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, going to kill Christians, persecute Christians, put them in jail, wipe out the church, on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, who showed up? Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. Acts chapter 9, in his resurrection glory. There is no human explanation for that. No human influence. Someone didn't take him aside and say, Paul, let me share the gospel with you. Let me go through the Roman road. Let's pray the sinner's prayer. No human. It was Jesus himself who intervened. Paul, 180 degree turnaround. What was he like before? He was like a runaway train. Everything in his path. He had no restraint. But God, notice that phrase there, God appointed me. Who could change a guy like Paul? Who could change you? Only God. Like Moses, like David in the Old Testament, chosen before birth. You know, God only does not know what is going to happen. God is in control. Even us. How are you saved? How are you converted? Well, I was so brilliant and so intelligent that I figured it out. I was in a hotel and picked up a Gideon's Bible and I... No, who initiates salvation? God. And God only. Who brought you to Christ? It was God. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God convicting you of your sin, convicting of your need for a Savior. Often in churches that today, they talk about being, we are seeker sensitive. We want to make church comfortable for everyone. So we may, you know, go to the extreme, we'll set up a bar and have beer. No. Seeker sensitive. Make you feel comfortable. Listen. I don't want you to feel comfortable all the time here. I want the Holy Spirit to be free to convict us of our sin and demand change in our lives as we are confronted by the Word of God. And really, who is the only real, true seeker? It is God who came to seek and to save those that were lost. God initiated, called him by his grace. Look at those verses. And yes, God calls and we respond. Please understand this about Paul. We know him years later. Just like I know most of you years after your conversion. What were you like before you came to Christ? Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? And even if you, as I said earlier, if you were a nice guy, went to church, went to Sunday school, went to El Porvenir Christian Camp worked at El Porvenir Christian Camp, did all these wonderful things, you were still steeped in pride. And you needed your heart broken and humbled to come to Christ. But God did not set Saul, apart because Paul had great leadership abilities. You know that? Because Paul had great writing skills and he had this great education. Well, you know, God was in heaven and he needed someone to write at least 12, 13 books of the New Testament. So he says, I got to get that guy. No, that's not why Paul was chosen. God used all of that for his glory. Well, Paul's a hard worker. We need him as an apostle. No. He was called by God's grace. That's the key phrase to understanding the book of Galatians. There is nothing you and I can do to receive, to earn God's grace. And the call to be saved, notice this, the call to salvation always comes with a call to serve. Ephesians 2, look over there, Ephesians chapter 2. You know these verses very well. In fact, read it with me, verse 8 and 9. And even if your translation's different, just read out loud with me. When you're ready, say, got it. Okay. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that anyone can boast. Now let's read verse 10, which we often ignore. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Then turn over to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Another verse we're very familiar with. Let's read that together. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. If you notice the next verse, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Why do we read those verses? When you were called by God's grace, there comes a call to serve Him. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation that may declare, proclaim the glory of God. You were called by who? God, not by men. Let's go on. Back in Galatians chapter 1, we saw what he was. God called him. What's happened since? Verse 16, to reveal his son to me, that I might preach him among the nations, the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after three years, I went to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem. You always wonder as you're looking, Jerusalem's always up because it's on a mountain. They always refer to Jerusalem as up, even if you went south, you went up. I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And verse 24, and they praise God because of me. Have you been called by God? Yes. Have you been called by God's grace? Yes. Now, our call should have some of the same ingredients as Paul. Your call is not as dramatic. You're not probably, I would almost bet, you're not going to see Jesus on a road to Damascus. You're not perhaps called to go and preach to the Gentiles. Except you are a Gentile, by the way. But you do have a call to serve. Different ways, different areas. But let's look at Paul. After Christ got his attention, Paul goes to Damascus, and you read the story in Acts chapter 9. He meets Ananias, and he's baptized. But Christ immediately takes him away. For what reason? To teach him. His call is unique to reach Gentiles from all the other apostles. He went to Arabia, east of Damascus, down to the Sinai Peninsula. What did he do all that time? Time of preparation for ministry. Afterwards, he comes back to Damascus. And he preaches there. And how soon do you think after Paul's conversion did he start receiving persecution from those Judaizers that he was just like before he came to Christ? Right away. And that's proof of something we'll look at in a moment. Immediately probably encountered persecution. Then in verse 18 he says, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter. Had a meeting. Went to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and James, the brother of Christ. But mark this down, not to learn what he was supposed to preach. Not to learn the gospel of grace from them, because he'd already spent time with the Lord. He already had the whole package. But he says to get acquainted with them. The word there means for the purpose of getting to know someone. And if you read between the lines and you read the book of Acts, when he gets to Jerusalem, he's rebuffed by other Christians. And you can understand why. If there was someone in our South Valley who was trying to destroy the church to the point of putting you in jail if you came to this church, You may even have to pay your life if you still claim to be a Christian. And then the guy that was ahead of all that showed up at church one day. How many of you would sit by him? I think I'll go on home now. And you remember in Acts chapter 9, even before he left Damascus, the persecution was so heavy that they had to lower him in a basket over the city wall and get him out of town. And it was only because of Barnabas. Remember Barnabas? What does Barnabas mean? Son of encouragement. Every time you read about Barnabas in the New Testament, he's encouraging. He's coming alongside someone with encouragement. Only because of Barnabas was he probably ever even allowed to have this meeting with Peter and James, the brother of Jesus. Barnabas says, no, come on. He really is converted. And there are other guys who are going, I'm not so sure. This guy's been killing Christians. You want us to welcome him? And Peter probably said, you want him to stay in my house? And Barnabas comes along. Paul uses this common Jewish vow. I assure you, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. After he left Jerusalem, after that meeting, I'll come to Jerusalem later for the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. But after this visit to Jerusalem, he goes to Syria and Cilicia. You know what town is in Cilicia? Tarsus. Where was Saul from? He goes to his hometown. Persecution. Always, everywhere he went, hostile Jews and Judaizers after him for his life. And then Barnabas again calls him to come to Antioch. And from there you pick it up in Acts 13 and they're sent on this mission trip. But until then, look at verse 22. I was personally unknown to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. They only heard this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he tried to destroy. What does Paul's persecution as a Christian prove? Dramatic change. And can you imagine this man who was trying to wipe out the gospel of grace is now going around writing books like Galatians and preaching, and what is his message? We are saved by works? By grace. It's very opposite of how he was raised, of his purpose in life. How hard it must have been for the early Christians to accept Paul into the fellowship. And his persecution proved that his conversion was real. Can I ask you a question? If you were asked to give some concrete evidence of your conversion to Christ, could you come up with some examples? Are you the same person you used to be before you came to Christ? Better not be. We are changed people. To those Christians, they're confused. This guy's changed. Is he for real? And what about the Judaizers? They now hate him. He was one of us. He was a gang leader. What's the deal here, Paul? Can we call you Paul or should we call you Saul? They're trying to kill him. From persecutor to preacher. Wow. And I love verse 24, and they praise God because of me. They don't praise Paul. They praise God and what God did in him in spite of who he was. What does all this show? This shows that Paul's message, the gospel of grace that he's now preaching to Gentiles, that you and I have bought into, this gospel of grace is the very same gospel that was preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 22. It's the very same gospel that was preached by Peter and the other apostles. It's truly from God. This point of the Judaizers, that you must become a Jew first, or Paul's just trying to please everybody by preaching what he's preaching is absurd. The apostles down in Jerusalem are preaching the very same message. And if I am preaching any message different than what you heard from Christ, what should you do with me? You go back to verse 9. Let me be eternally condemned. You see, to reject the Word of God is to reject God. It's His message. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I want to read this to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul, who I got acquainted with, stayed in my home for 15 days, who I had a lot of disagreements with, but we're really on the same page. Our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. You know what Peter has just said? That what Paul wrote is scripture. The same gospel. People often want to pick and choose. Well, I like this part of the Bible. I rip these pages out. I don't like this. I just like the red letter part in my Bible because those are the words of Jesus. What does Paul write to Timothy? All Scripture is God-breathed and useful. You and I don't have the option to pick and choose what Scriptures we like, to make it fit what we want it to say, to fit our message. We better stick with God's message. And to reject Paul's message really is to reject the message from God. I got it from God. I didn't make this up. But that's enough for today. Let me ask you a few questions and then we'll pray. How about you? What were you like before you came to Christ? Don't answer that out loud. Just think about it. You thought you were pretty good. Well, I wasn't as bad as Morgan, but let's understand what we were before we came to Christ. However good and prim and proper you were lost. And you deserved it. But how were you changed? Somehow, through His Word, through a family member, through a preacher, somehow you met Jesus, the real Jesus, in all His resurrected glory. And you were called by His grace. And you responded. What about you since? You know, often we want to focus on before. I did this, and I did this, and it was rotten and terrible. Oh, but I sure miss it a lot. Let's keep before pretty brief, can we? What's happened since? And there's the real proof that you've been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not a people pleasers. We're God pleasers. And ask yourself this question. Are other people who really know you praising God because of you? Not praising you, but are others seeing in you what God has done and are praising God for what they see in you? May the glory of God rise as we live our lives for Him. Let's pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, for some of us, we've been in church all our life, and it's really kind of hard to imagine before. But we were lost until we submitted our lives and received the gospel as our very own and bought into it that you died for us. Your work on the cross atoned, took away, paid for our sin. Until we really bought into it, we were just as lost as the worst sinner we can imagine. And oh, we thank you for calling us by your grace. And we pray that our lives will demonstrate and bring glory to you. May your glory rise among us as we live our lives in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?